1 John chapter 1, and we'll use this to introduce our topic today and the verses that were read. Before we begin, let's pray once again and ask for the Lord's blessing on our time. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we could have a copy of the Scripture that we have for our own. We thank Thee, Father, that we have the Spirit that abides within us, that has sealed us into the day of redemption, that would teach us and comfort us in the truths of Thy Word. Father, we ask now, as we would purpose to look upon its pages, and we would purpose to glean the truth, we would purpose to examine our own lives and our own selves and see, Father, how we might be better conformed to the image of Thy Son. We pray that You would allow us to benefit from this time. Allow us to gain knowledge. Father, chip away the rough edges that need to be chipped away. Make us aware of sin or anything that's holding us back. Father, give us a fresh perspective on Thy holiness and Thy will for each of our walks. So we pray that now as we commit these things to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life." Now we know this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And notice the senses that are mentioned. From the beginning, we know Christ has no beginning, as deity is eternal. We have seen Him with our eyes. We have heard Him with our ears. We have looked upon Him. We have handled Him or touched Him. And so the writer of this epistle is no doubt been able to live right alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes reminding the hearers of this very same thing. The senses of Christ was real. For the life was manifested or shown forth. And again, he says, we have seen it. And then I'd like for you to notice what it says next. Not only have we seen it, but bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifest or shown to us. The word witness is what I'd like to key in on as we're going to be focusing on that this morning. You see, here it says that we bear witness. And we know in our Christian walk, that is something that we are to do. We're to bear witness. We're to be a witness. And we're going to talk about what that means. Let's continue and pick up verse 3 as we want to connect this with some thoughts that we'll see about being a witness for Christ. Verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." And I want you to kind of tuck that word "declare" away. We're going to come back to that. And because it's critical to understand what the word "declare" means in understanding what it means to be a witness. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and is with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." Well, turn now, if you will, with those thoughts in mind, that the very fact that these folks have witnessed Christ, and now they are to be a witness, bear a witness. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll read this verse. We may read more for context later, but just pick up on this verse as we introduce the topic of a witness. The Lord Jesus Christ here, speaking to the believers, speaking to the Christians that are gathered, says in chapter 1 and verse 8 of Acts, "But ye shall receive power, after which that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And that's the exact phrase that we'll want to consider this morning. Witnesses unto me. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking. You will be witnesses unto me. Now, typically, when we think about being a witness, what comes to your mind? Probably most, we think about a courtroom setting, don't we? We're going to call forth the witness, you know. Witness number one, take the stand. And that is a correct thinking about what the word witness would mean and would carry the correct thought. What is that witness doing? They're getting up there on the stand and they are telling the situation as they saw it or as they know it, right? Well, I'd like to read to you the definition of witness. And I wrote that down and stuck it in my Bible. But I just got to remember where I stuck it. So I quote it correctly in the word witness. This is actually from the Strong's definition of the word witness. And I'll read first. There's two definitions, and I'll read, and they're common, or they're similar. But let me read this one first. The word witness, one who can or does declare, remember that word declare? One who can or does declare what they have seen, heard, and knows. Now, as I started to study this little phrase, it had made an impression on me. Ye are witnesses unto me, that Christ would say that to the followers. Look up the word witness, and in the Greek, it's a little word that's marto. And what does that make you think of? The word marto. Martyr. I thought, okay, wait a minute. Witness, that means somebody that sits up on a witness stand and tells what they know, and that doesn't have anything to do with death, but why is that word being used here? And that began to make an even bigger impression on me as I began to search this out, and the same word, the exact same Greek word that's used for martyr is also used for witness. And the definition there says one who bears witness by his death. Thought, well, that's pretty sobering to think about that. Ye are my witnesses. And we know that we think about the first martyr, Stephen. What was he? He was a witness unto death, wasn't he? He was the one who, bearing witness, proclaiming forth, even brought about his own death, bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, it's challenging to think about, isn't it? To ask ourselves the question, am I willing to be a witness? To be a martyr? You know, today if we were to go out this afternoon, and this wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, to go out this afternoon and we would go out, get our gospel tracts, maybe get a Bible, go to a public area, and start witnessing. Start engaging people in conversation. Would you feel threatened for your life? Probably not. Probably not. In the country, and in fact, it was prayed in the closing of our worship meeting this morning, there was thanksgiving for the country that we live in. That we have the freedom to share and to talk about these things. We have the freedom to tell forth the truth. We have the freedom to declare. We have the freedom to bear witness for Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. Even though we wouldn't be threatened, so to speak, in our own communities, there's an aspect of death, and let's look here at go back to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and really, this verse that we've read in Acts chapter 1, we get some more information in Luke chapter 24, because chronologically speaking, in Luke, Christ is coming to the end of his time with the disciples, and as Luke ends, Acts begins, right? I mean, so it's just there's a flow right there, so we're right at the beginning of Acts, and we have the same writer in Luke writing the book of Acts and writing the gospel according to Luke. And so as we look back, I want you to see, keeping in mind these aspects about a witness, Luke chapter 24, let's pick up at verse 39 and gain a little bit of context here if we can. "Behold my hands," Christ speaking. "Behold my feet." Does that remind you of what we read back in 1 John? "You that have handled me," he's telling the disciples, "behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, that he said, "Have ye any meat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it, and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I have spoken to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." That repentance, he's explaining the plan of salvation, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And notice verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things." Now, here, the plan of salvation, God sending His Son, living a perfect life, living among these people that are listening to these words. If you went and asked John or Peter or Mary, anyone that observed Christ, if you asked them, "Hey, was Christ who he said he was? Was Christ really perfect?" What do you think they would say? They'd say yes, right? Remember when Christ would ask the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they responded at who they had heard people say, "He's a prophet, he's Elias, he's, you know, this, that, and the other." He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And so here, these men and these women that were gathered listening to these words, what did they have? They had the gospel. They had the exact information that needed to be spread out to the whole world. And each one of them were to be his witnesses. Remember that definition that I read to you? I like the way that this is worded. One who can or does. One who can or does declare what he has seen, heard, or knows. If you're here this morning and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've asked Christ to become your personal Savior, you've come to a point in your life where you realize that I was dead in my trespasses and sin, that I had to make a payment for those, and that payment was death, an eternal separation from a holy God. If you come to the point you realize that Christ is the only way that death payment could be satisfied, and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you not say it is true that every one of us have experienced, if you're a believer, you've experienced Christ yourself? You have seen. You've seen the truth. You have heard. And so we can tell of this experience. We do know. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. So, can we say that we all fit the definition of a witness? One who can or does declare what they have seen, heard, and know. You know a tremendous truth when you know the gospel. Now, to witness, we think we use the illustration of a person that gets up on a witness stand. And if I were to call, is there a volunteer that wants to come up for a witness? All right. If I were to call one of you up here for a witness, if I said, Mr. Adcock, come up here as a witness, you know, and sit up here in the chair. And if Mr. Adcock came up here and he didn't say a word, what kind of witness would he be? Well, let's use a polite word. An unprofitable witness. How about that? Somebody said, sorry. But, hey, that definition, one who can or does. Are you in the can category? Are you in the does category? You see, the one who can and doesn't, well, whatever word came to mind whenever Mr. Adcock was to testify the truth of what he knew, and he didn't say a word. He could have, but he didn't. We want to be in the does category. We have the truth. We know the truth. There's a world that needs the truth that we have. Ye are my witnesses. The person that said that was the Lord Jesus Christ, who had just been raised from the dead. He had just given his life. He had taken on the sin of the world. He had satisfied the Father when nobody else would satisfy the Father. And he's telling these people, he says, ye are my witnesses. Go and tell what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you know. That verse 8, back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, and when you have received the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon you, that's when you're to go, right? And we have a tremendous resource. We have a tremendous, some of the old writers use the word paraclete, one that's right there alongside us, one that will be there doing the work for us. And we think about that in 1 John, where it says, let me turn back to it just to make sure I quote it correctly. If we bear witnesses of these things, if we are witness, if we are doing the work, listen to what this says. If we bear witness, as we declare unto you what we have seen and what we heard, that ye may have fellowship with us. You see, when we have fellowship, we're co-laboring together with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Spirit, with God the Father Himself. You have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are my witnesses. Now, you know, I'm I can't brag of being, you know, the superstar witness. And I think it's part, not to say we don't want to use this as an excuse at all. I mean, look at Peter. As you start reading the book of Acts, Peter, this guy that buckled, the guy that just denied Christ, you know what? It was like Peter was up on that witness stand and he says, "Hey, weren't you with Jesus? Hey, you were with him. Tell us about it." Quiet, or even denied him. Denied him three times. We, as in our own human makeup, whatever it is, I think what the real thing is that we want to tend to our own need. We've got our own plan, our own concept of what we need to do, and sometimes that doesn't line up with what God's plan is. And so, typically, and the same is true for me, I slip into this routine that I can go right through my life and not be a witness. I can go through my daily activity and not be blatantly out there. You know, I can be polite and rationalize in my mind, I was probably a witness to that fellow. I mean, he probably saw Christ in my actions there. You know, I can be honest. That's being a good witness. And I can go to church. I can attend midweek prayer meeting. I'm being a witness. People in my neighborhood saw me drive out. And all those things are true, but what it allows us to do is kind of slip into being a silent witness. The very witness, the definition says, what you have seen, what you have heard. How did you hear it? Somebody had to tell you, right? How are other people going to hear unless we tell? And you know, sometimes we think about these things and we want to beat ourselves up. Oh, I got to do better. You know, I got to do better. And it's not my intent at all to try to say, I'm gonna come up here and guilt you. I'm gonna guilt you into wanting to be a better witness. That's not my intent. That's not the Lord's intent, is it? Was He trying to guilt those people as He was standing there? As He was standing there, getting ready to be ascended back into heaven to be received by the Father. Was He trying to lay a guilt trip on the disciples? No. You know, there's a verse. In fact, let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. Christ is not laying a guilt trip on us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge, we come to this conclusion that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that He died for all, here's what we want to catch. Not that He's going to guilt trip us or anything like that, but He is going to command us. And He is going to want to see the gospel spread. Christ died that they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto Him, Christ, which died for them and rose again. So now you start to see where Marto comes in. Ye are my witnesses. If we're going to be a witness, we have to die to self. That we don't live anymore to our own selves, to our own goals, to our own ambitions, to our own fleshly desires, but we live unto Him, Christ. And what does Christ ask us to do? ye are my witnesses. Go, declare. Declare. Speak forth. State. Say. Proclaim. Declare what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you know. We said that we all have a personal experience. If we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a story to tell, don't we? Sometimes you can even just say to a person, can I tell you the best thing that's ever happened to me? Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear what you have to say. Can I tell you the best decision I ever made in my life? The perfect open door of opportunity. Sometimes you might just say, has anyone ever explained to you the gospel? I've asked people that question and say, well, no, I guess they haven't. And so we, every one of us, ye are my witnesses. Everyone in this room that's a believer fit in that ye. It's two-letter word, but it means all of us, right? Ye. All of us are His witnesses. And so, we have the responsibility, and you know what? If you think about it, just take a minute to think about this. How many unbelievers do you come in contact with on a daily basis? Work, in your neighborhood, in your own family. Ye are my witnesses. Peter would go, and you can look at that word in Acts. You look at that word witness. You start lining it up, and it's used throughout the book. Peter would go forth, and he would be a tremendous witness. Peter and John are going together. They're witnessing, they're proclaiming Christ. They are talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And you know what? If they get laughed at, they're not concerned about that. If they get put in jail, they're not concerned about that. If they lose their best friend, they're not concerned about that. You know, sometimes I fall into this little trap. And I think, I'm developing a relationship with somebody, you know? I mean, like, say if John, I know I'm going to have this transaction with John, and like, say, for example, that I'm going to go, John works at the lumber store, you know? And so I'm going to buy lumber from him today, and I know probably next week I'm going to see him again. And sometimes I'm scared to witness to him because I know I'm going to see him again. I don't want to turn him off real early, you know, in the relationship. But why do we even think we're going to turn him off? Are there other people that seem to act like a Christian? You know, they you know that they go to church. And I learned a quick lesson on that. One day I was in a hardware store, and this guy I'd been praying about, the Lord had laid on my heart to witness to him. And I started talking to him about the things of the Lord. And I knew he went to one of the local churches there in Pinnacle. And he said to me, he goes, our pews are full of people that are on their way to hell. Just because you're a church member doesn't mean it, anything, does it? I mean, here was a guy that I was even unsure if he was saved or not. Turns out that he has a clear testimony. And so I was thankful for that. But I was afraid, you know, sometimes you don't want to offend a Christian. But let me ask you this. If you're a believer, would you be offended if somebody tried to share the gospel with you? No. No. You would be saying, all right. You know, there's somebody that's being a witness. The gospel is an offense to some. It's a stumbling block to others. It is the searchlight, the flashlight of God's truth to shine in on darkness. And some people that you talk to are living in darkness and they love it. The flesh loves it. The flesh craves it. And there will be times if you shine that light, it'll be an offense. But the Spirit of God will work and convict and show Remember? When we're the witness up there on that stand, what's the witness's job? Just to tell. The judge's job is to do everything. I mean, as a witness, your job's pretty easy, isn't it? If you think about it, you don't have to be the lawyer. You don't have to be the judge. You don't have to be the bailiff. You don't have to be anybody else. But the witness. You witness. God's the judge. The Holy Spirit is that one that's doing the pleading, the convicting, the understanding, revealing the truth. Ye are my witnesses. Are you in that can category? All of us can. Are you in that does category? I do witness for my Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living unto yourself? Are you living unto Him that died on your behalf and rose again? Living today. Turn back to Acts. Where are you now? Anyway, what book are you? Are you back in John? Or turn back to Acts chapter 1. That verse that we see there, that we read before in verse 8, we kind of understand the context of it from the last of chapter 24 and even into the first of chapter 1 of Acts, that some of the things are repeated. The Holy Ghost is going to be given. Verse 3 says, to whom He has shown Himself alive after His passion or His death by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking unto them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is going to equip us. Look over at chapter 2 and chapter 2 of Acts and verse 22 says this, ye men of Israel, Acts 2:22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know. And that's part of our definition, the things that you know. Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. And then skip down, if you will, to verse 32. This Jesus, still in chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof ye are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And I believe if you do a study, you can do this on your own sometime. If you go through and you examine the word witness, you'll see that people are seeing and hearing and knowing. We just came through this little cold spell, you know. And did you happen to notice last week, I think maybe time keeps slipping by pretty quick, but we just had a full moon, didn't we? Anybody notice that? The big harvest moon, the big full moon that we had. And if I would go today, well, in fact, maybe why, I do remember this now, last Friday night, when you guys, some of you were up there at Mountaintop. Did you notice the how clear it was and the moon that was shining? I mean, you could almost walk outside at dark without a flashlight. And the moon was tremendous. I mean, it was big and round and full and the sky was black and dark, but this moon was right there, and it was very vibrant. You could see some of those craters and ripples on the moon. And see, I can describe that to you because I was there and I saw it. Those of you that weren't there. Well, if you hadn't seen it, you can't describe it, right? But if you've seen it, how you can tell about it? Yeah, you can describe it. If you've heard it, you can tell about it. If you've read it, you know it. You see, sometimes, even though we're a believer, if we're a believer, we got something to tell. But as we drink in the Word, as we read the Word, as we would see Christ, as we would hear and learn of Him, as we would be conformed into His image, we've got more to tell, don't we? As we live our life, as we gaze on Christ, as we experience Christ, we've got even more to tell. And so that's another challenge to us as we think about the admonition, ye are my witnesses. Well, then we've got to be looking at Christ. What does the writer of Hebrews say? Says, that wasn't very good English, was it? What does the writer of Hebrews say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it talks about laying aside those weights, right? Do you know what one of the weights are? Well, you have to examine it in your own life, but for a witness, what is it weighing you back? What's weighing you back from being an effective witness? Is it fear? Is it shyness or timidity? Is it perceived lack of opportunity? Is it lack of knowledge? Is it lack of sight? Is it lack of hearing? You have to determine what is the weight that's holding you back. And we know that sin grieves the Spirit. Is it sin? You know, because here we all have this tremendous message. The message that if you're a believer has determined your eternity. Christ says, ye are my witnesses. Remember the fact that if you hadn't heard yourself, you wouldn't be a believer. Do that service. Do that will of God. You talk about being a martyr? Are we willing to be a witness unto death? Let's consider in closing the Lord Jesus Christ just before He died. Look back at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And verse 42. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us wonderful examples to follow. And now, in obedience to the will of God, look at what He says. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to offer Himself up on the cross. And He's praying. And we get to hear a little bit about the Father, about the Son's prayer as He's talking to the Father. In verse 42, it says, Father, this is Christ speaking, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But notice the next phrase. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, Christ was willing to be a martyr, wasn't He? Christ was willing to die to self. Not my will, but thine be done. God has made known His will when Christ would stand before the disciples and would record it in Scripture for all of us to hear. Ye are my witnesses. And may we challenge ourselves to say, not my will, but thine be done. God's will. is for us to tell others about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the words of Scripture that reveal these truths to us. Father, we pray for an awareness of the need to be a witness. Father, we pray that You would make us all effective witnesses. Father, give us a passion, a burden, a compassion for the lost. Give us a love for the lost. Father, may we see each lost person as a person that will wind up in hell unless we share the gospel, unless we declare, bear witness, proclaim what we have seen ourselves, what we have heard ourselves, and what we know. Father, we realize the responsibility that we have as believers to share this wonderful gospel. And Father, what rejoicing will come about as the one who may receive the first bit of the gospel as an offense, but as they realize the truths of it, as the Spirit does its work, Father, the people will be so grateful. Help us to know what You would have us to do in order to be Your witness. We pray this now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.